gracious.
So we are discussing the 11th chapter of the Gita. And we had covered very interesting points even today afternoon. What was that? The whole world is running according to the will of God. We have to be the instruments. One of the special features of this 11th chapter, that Arjuna had a ferocious vision. Now if you have studied Swami Vivekananda's works, in one of his poems he says, "Let Shama dance there." Have you read that? No, no, this is a poem by Swami Vivekananda. So the significance of this, we always want to worship something which is very pleasant. But he said, worship the terrible. And I think you are familiar with Kali the mother. Every shaking step destroys a world for her. So he who dances along with Mother Kali, to him the mother comes. Hard for us to understand. Now this world view, a wrong or partial world view, our view about any event, any person, which is partial view, is a dangerous view. That is called ajnana. That creates trouble. In this world there is good and bad. And when we say that, we should never think there is something called good, something called evil. No. It is the same thing interpreted by two different people or by the same person according to the time, situation and its effect upon us. But life is never like that. It is always a mixture of good and evil. The very nature of experiences, unless we have the opposite, we can never understand what it is. Let me give an example. Supposing somebody is living in a place where there is perpetual sunlight. And does he know what sunlight is? Can he enjoy it? Why we enjoy sunlight? Don't you see? 2-3 days very cloudy and suddenly sun comes out and your mind just like a lotus it blooms. The condition for blooming, for the blooming of your heart is there should be necessarily the opposite. Experience in reality. Experience means not intellectual information but actual undergoing through that event. So in this context, supposing you want to describe intellectually to a person who is living under perpetual sunlight what darkness is, what do you think his understanding of darkness would be? Do you see what is the point? Not only he doesn't understand what is darkness, he won't even understand what is light. You see, now you can see me, I can see you. So why? Because of what?
Light.
But do you see the light? Do you see the light? Where do you see the light?
The artificial light.
So if none of us are here, would you still see the light?
No.
You see, there is a deep psychological fact which we always have to understand. Here is my hand. I am able to see it because of the light. What does this fact tell me? Tells me that there is my hand. That is that all? This fact, this experience also tells me that there is light. Though usually we ignore it. If there were to be no hand, you will never know the light. There must be something the light should reveal. And what it reveals, reveals the light. If there is no object, will there be a subject? Simple. So what is this point leading to? It is leading to this fact, if you want happiness, you must know what is unhappiness. Not only know, it is the payment, it is the price. As much price as you pay, so much happiness you will get. Mm-hmm. The less unhappy you are, the less happy you are. The more unhappy you are, the more happy you are. This is the nature of life, duality. You can't avoid it. So, how do we apply this principle to this 11th chapter? Why particularly Arjuna had this terrible vision? One point we already discussed. What is it terrible? He was in a battlefield. And the second interpretation is even more. Individuality. We are clinging to our individuality. Now if you are an individual, how do you know you are an individual? Unless you have an idea that what is not individual, universal. Do you see the point? Unless we are part of that universal, our very individuality has no foundation at all. Suppose you are alone, nobody is there, nothing is there. That means you will have no experience. Will you experience your individuality? You don't. What is the proof? In deep sleep, do you say, I am so and so? But the moment you come to the waking state, not only you say, I am so and so, but I am so and so because this is so and so. This is the psychological fact. What is the implication of this? The Lord is telling in this that we all accept the pleasant. We never anticipate the opposite. But we are talking here about time. So when Arjuna asked the Lord, who are you? I am not able to understand you. Previously he was thinking Krishna was the individual. Now what is he thinking? Krishna is the universal. What does that mean? What does universal mean?
There's no identity.
Universal means, I am an individual, I am happy. So you are an individual, you may be unhappy. So at the same moment, I am happy, and you are unhappy. That is what we call this or that against this. That means at the same time, both happiness and unhappiness, life and death, good and evil. I'll also give illustration. I'm going into a little bit details because this is the point the Lord wants us to understand. Two points rather. What are the two points? Life and death, good and evil, etc. are not two separate experiences, but same experience looked at by two different individuals in two different ways. That is the first point. The second point what we have to understand is that every experience is an integral experience. That means happiness contains unhappiness, equal amount, and unhappiness contains equal happiness. If we don't understand this fact, what is our loss? Our loss is, as so long as we are happy. And the moment anything opposite happens, even our past happiness doesn't come to our rescue. You know, yesterday you ate rasagulla and today you are having stomachache. this stomach ache doesn't, you think, it should cancel that Rasagulla experience. No, you can't separate it. You say, why did I eat that? That unhappy experience has turned an experience of regret. But if we understand this principle, then we say that was also good, this is also good. That was also good, is also good. This is so beautifully illustrated in this form of a story which I already several times I think I narrated. Anyway, I will still tell you. There was a king and he was a pleasure seeker. And he had a wise minister. So one day the king was sharpening his knife, his sword, and accidentally his thumb was cut off. Just at that moment his minister was entering into his presence and he saw the king was wincing with pain. And the minister said, good, very good. The king got wild, what? I lost my thumb and you say very good, put this fellow in jail. Instantaneously he was put in jail. Why is he was being taken? He said, good, very good. And then the king, after a few days, went out for hunting. And he was lost. And he was caught by a human sacrificing tribal. And they decorated him nicely and took him to Mother Kali and were about to do Brahmarpanam. Suddenly they noticed the thumb was missing. According to their rules, that was not a fit object at all. Let this unfit, unholy object go. The king realized, when the minister said, good, very good, this is what he meant. I was saved of life. So he went back, immediately released the minister, and then the minister came, unperturbed, good, good, he said. And the king asked, now I understand what you mean, but it was very good when my thumb was cut off. But explain, when you were being taken into the jail, you said, good, very good. What do you mean? He said, don't you see? If you had not put me in the jail, I would have been with you. This is what Vedanta is telling us. What is it telling? Either reject both, or accept both. You can't be in the middle, man. I will only accept something and I reject something. Now coming back, how does this help us in our life? Unless we are totally blind, we cannot but take notice when an earthquake takes place, when a tsunami takes place, when a world war takes place, and war is still going on. We are not living in an age when we are all bhai-bhai. Every country, everywhere, this bloodshed is going on. Don't you see, practically every day you get a news, one or two US soldiers are killed. Just imagine, for that person, what that experience is, and for the family, for the young man, maybe a young husband is lost. Terrible it is. We have lost the power of sensibility, because one dies, we feel bad. Two dies, we feel little bad. And 100 die, statistics. And after that, if 100 dies every day, we become bored. Sensational news. 1,000 died. Oh, 1,000. When 100 died, oh, 100 died. 1,000. Oh, 1,000 died. After a few days, 1,000 died. It's not news. But if 10,000 die, that is the news. In fact, there was an interesting information. When the tsunami took place, 200,000 people died. I had a query, how many people die every day? And I asked somebody, you know what the information was? Every day practically, 170,000 people are dying. More or less, plus minus 10%, 5%, 10%. Every day. Does it raise our eyebrows. Why? Because they are not reported sensationally. They don't occur in one mass go. Here one dies, there one dies, the other one dies there. What is it we are talking about? Every day, every minute, how many people are dying? Have you ever taken notice? So just imagine, 170,000 people die every day, 24 hours. How many are dying? You know, Indo-China war, India and China were at war. Some journalist found out that by the time we breathe in and out, 5 Chinese were dying. The war was going on, you should remember. So one fellow was a great patriot at home. He started breathing faster. So that more Chinese would die. Every second, not only death, but every second, death also is happening in our body. We are changing. We don't take notice, but we are changing, isn't it? Yeah. Every day, some change is going on. But if you look at the cosmos, every moment a star is, I don't know how many stars are dying and how many stars are being born. This is a fact of life. Mother Kali is dancing all the time. Every step. A world comes to an end. This is a fact of life. So through this 11th chapter, what is it called? Vishwarupa Darshana. So one meaning of Vishwarupa Darshana meaning what? Looking at the world as nothing but God. Another way of looking at it is nothing but a play of life and death. This is darshana. One meaning of darshana is what? Seeing the Lord. Another meaning of darshana is what? Seeing the truth. And what is the truth about this world? Life and death. So why should you be thinking something that there is something wrong if people die in the wars, First World War, Second World War, and local wars, all these? Do you think death comes only in the battlefield? Does it not come every day of our life? Every day of our life is a Kurukshetra, battlefield. Every second we are fighting. Why do you breathe? To live. That's a battle. You say, let us give holiday for breathing, 5 minutes. What will happen? So this wrong idea about the universe is the cause of our misery. But when we look at the universe in the right way, with the right understanding, then what is the factor that comes? Sukha and dukkha. So here, two things happen. Astonishing thing, but two things will happen. When we have what is called a holistic picture, complete view, say I said life is acceptable, that is partial view. But when we also accept wholeheartedly death, and we do it in so many ways without knowing ourselves. For example, when you plant a seed, do you know what? How does the plant come out? Only by the death of the seed. Without making the seed die, is it possible for you to have both the seed and also the plant? It's not possible. So, when we have a complete picture, you know what happens? It ceases to frighten us. Why does it cease to frighten us? Now we are terribly frightened of old age, death and all those things. But when we see the complete picture, then it ceases to frighten us. In fact, we love it. Why? Because, you know, now partial view tells us that life is meant to be lived, which is not at all correct view, but death is horrible. But when we understand life and death are part of the same process, that means what? If something is born, it will die. If something is dead, it will be
born
again. That view will come. So long as we have partial view, we are frightened. But when we have complete view, then we start loving death. Swami Vivekananda used sometimes peculiar language. He said, you know, bhakti is that love of death. What does he mean? Who loves death? We love death because, in fact, we love death under certain circumstances. So, if a rich uncle is there and he is not dying, that's not a very pleasant experience to us. But, you see, supposing you are having a job and it's not paying you well, but someone offers you a much better job. What will you do? Do you resign unhappily or happily? Happily. Now we have an old body, young mind. This is our trouble. Young mind and old body. We want to enjoy, but the body is not cause. Isn't there a saying, you know? The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Who would not love, suppose somebody says, okay, you die quickly and you will get a new dress. If we know that for a fact, who would be afraid of death? Nobody is afraid, will become afraid of, because always it is something good, something new, something wonderful, it is coming. Until we have that view, our spiritual progress will not take place. You know, we talk about spiritual progress, especially this scripture is meant only for spiritual people. So what is spirituality in this context? To have correct view. And what is the correct view? The first idea is life and death are inevitable. Inevitability means we have to resign ourselves and say, oh, anyway, it has to happen, so what can I do? I will accept it. Like the Asterix, you know, these Romans wanted the Roman soldiers to be volunteers and go to Gaul village. Nobody was volunteering. So the commander said, you, thank you for volunteering. Very lovely, you know, thank you for volunteering to go. So long as we have partial view, fear will never disappear. When we have a holistic view, and this is now scientists are slowly having this holistic view. That means everything in this universe is absolutely one integral whole. If we lose something, we lose something very precious. You know, so many animals and they are extinguished and all that. Of course, Vedanta doesn't subscribe to that view. You know why? According to science, extinction means gone. According to Vedanta, the extinction means they will have another. Yeah. So, this is the view the Lord wanted to tell. And there are very interesting things. I will come to that point very shortly. So, when we have a holistic view, what was that I said? First, our fear will disappear. Second, joyfully we look forward to what we call death. In fact, in a simple way, that's what we always are doing. So, supposing you had your breakfast and you don't get hungry. Would you enjoy your lunch? But suppose you are ravenously hungry by about 12 o'clock. How eagerly you are looking to have your lunch. So what is this hunger? It is death. One form of death is hunger. That is why hunger is called death. And if we don't fulfill, that hunger will really lead one to starvation and death. So many people are dying. Some people are not dying, but they are living dead. This beautiful view the Lord is bringing to our mind. Oh Arjuna, I have been all the time talking only about life and death, but cold and heat, good and evil, friend and enemy. Who is a friend and who is an enemy? Partial view is somebody is a friend, somebody is enemy. Complete view, he is nothing but God. So God is playing with God. Now the analogy Vedanta always brings to make us understand this point is a drama. Drama. In drama, the more murders take place, the more joyous you are. Yes, you know why? If there is one murder, you are little bit happy. 100 murders, quite happy. 1,000 murders, you know, because you also think, if anybody comes, I will take like that governor of California, like that, finish the whole lot. What is your avatar? You have seen the avatar. You have seen avatar? Yes. You understand? All that laser guns and it is nothing but a little bit fancy instrument. But what is the point? The point is, if it is very real, then it is not pleasant. But if it is make-believe, it is only a play, then it is absolutely welcome. That is the understanding the Lord wants. If you have only holistic view, you will suffer. But if you have a holistic view, you will enjoy. Understand? If you have a holistic view, you will suffer. If you have a holistic view, you will enjoy. The first hole is without W. The second hole with W. Because when you look the whole thing, nothing is destroyed. It only changes its dress. This is the simple truth. Not only that, if you look at the holistic view, then one fact emerges. There is only one actor. There is only one being who is acting all these different roles. For that, the example is a dream. In dream, take this example. You are dreaming, there is a class, and Swami is talking, and so many devotees are listening. All these beings created by whom? Suppose a mosquito comes and bites one devotee in your dream. But the house is on fire in your dream. And fortunately, you are near the staircase. As soon as the wisp of smoke comes, immediately you are out of the door. But suppose the others are caught. You are thinking, oh God, how gracious you are. I have escaped. But as soon as your dream breaks, then what would you do? I would not mind even if I was caught in the fire. Because after all it is only a dream. This is the called holistic view. If we look at the whole, only one being is playing the game. He is the director, he is the scriptwriter, he is the actor, he is the prompter, he is the audience. He is the judge, he is the stage, he is everything. That's what Gopala's mother had that view. But we have to pay heavy price for that. What is that heavy price? Holistic view and individualistic view do not go together. Unless individualistic view is destroyed, holistic view will not come. Do you see the point? That's why Arjuna was frightened, he was not ready for that. What about Sri Ramakrishna? What about Narendranath? Did he get frightened or not? When Sri Ramakrishna touched him, did he get frightened? What about Sri Ramakrishna himself? Did you read? When the first vision came, he said from four sides, huge waves of consciousness were coming and overwhelmed. I panted, struggled against it. What was that struggle?
To hold on to
the individuality. But fortunately the mother came and removed everything. And he fell unconscious. Later on when he came back, he understood that unless we lose our individuality, there will be no progress in any field of life. We are all seeking happiness. In our simple way, the Lord has ordained that if one person is enjoying, that will be little. But if he shares that enjoyment with others, then the enjoyment will increase. If he shares it with more people, his enjoyment will increase. And what about, you may ask, what about the unhappiness? Have you ever thought, if you share your happiness, will it increase or decrease?
Increase.
If you share your sorrow, will it increase or decrease?
Decrease. Decrease.
What is a family? Family is a way of telling, I want to transcend my individual. In fact, Swami Ashokananda's beautiful book, is, I forget the name, probably Ascent to Illumination. Why the mind is so restless? Why is the mind so restless? It is restless because it remembers, I am the infinite. But it, in this practical role, it is very, very limited. So it is never satisfied with anything. Husband wants wife, wife wants husband, children want parents, parents want children. Not only that, we all want our enemies. We all, without enemies, our happiness is not complete. Have you ever thought about it? Yeah. Suppose somebody is competing against, suppose you are a good runner. So nobody is competing, you are the only runner. Will you get happiness? But supposing 110 people are competing with you and you come first. Or let me put it this way, if one person is competing with you and you win, how much will be your happiness? 10 people are competing with you and you win, how much will be your happiness? 100 people are competing with you and you win. You know, this Olympic Games, that the person who gets second place or third place, they are no inferiors. Many times, bhagya, a little bit of wind, a little bit of the sun, can make all the difference between success and defeat. You know that? You know, suppose the sun is there and one fellow is here and the other fellow is there. The sun is falling in his eyes, like you are driving sometimes. That much it obstructs. The wind, if it is a little bit more, the ball is, it's coming at 145 miles speed. And a little bit wind, if it pushes, that determines the whole thing. I have seen that in recently, when, I don't remember what is the beginning of the game. What happened? This fellow, he gave one blow. The other fellow was very alert, he was coming. But the wind pushed it in such a way that it just fell, instead of going to that fellow, it just fell on the, you know, there is a line, it fell on the line. Now the other fellow didn't take it because he was thinking that this ball will be outside. But because the wind was blowing, just a little bit, tiny bit, it just touched, you know, afterwards they challenge, In the challenge they show so clearly the ball is coming and that shadow is there on the line, and he won the point, he won the game. What is the point I am making? That without our enemies, we can't really be happy. Like without bitter gourd, you can't enjoy your food. This is the simple truth. If always husband and wife go on saying, I love you, I love you, how boring it is. But now and then they quarrel a little bit, not too much, but a little bit, and afterwards they make up. Life is very sweet. It's a fact. That's what psychologists tell. If you never quarrel, you are dead. Yeah. So, holistic view, it first of all removes our fear. That is the first point I made. What is the second point I made? When we have holistic view, and holistic view can be had only under one condition. What is that? The individualistic view must disappear. If the individual is removed, then what remains?
God.
Huh? God. Only one thing remains. Do you see the point? I am an individual because you are an individual. You are. If I am not an individual, you, along with my individuality, your individuality also will disappear. And there remains only one. And that being we call God. Not only it removes our fear, it brings the highest happiness, because life and death is nothing but a manifestation, constantly changing manifestation of the same unitary consciousness in different formats. That is the what the Lord's vision has come. But Arjuna was frightened. Now, he should have been liberated, but he was frightened. Why was he frightened? Because, 2 points here, the vision came not because of his greatness, but because of the Lord's grace. The second point is, he has not yet overcome his individuality. So as soon as that vision came, it created fright. Who will be frightened?
Individual.
Only the individual can get frightened when he has the universal, because he doesn't want to lose it. Ramakrishna struggled. Swami Vivekananda struggled. Swami Brahmananda struggled. Remember this an incident? One day he complained to Sri Ramakrishna, oh, I am coming to you for such a long time, I am not having any spiritual experiences. Remember? No. What is the point? The point is, he is not telling I am not having a spiritual experience. I am not unhappy that I am not having spiritual experience. I am unhappy, you are a useless fellow. What are you doing? Then Sri Ramakrishna said, why is it? Come on, stretch out your tongue. He wrote something. Then Swami Brahmananda went and said, not Mandir. And started meditating. And then huge beam of light came and was about to envelop. Simply ran away. Yeah. On the way, he met Sri Ramakrishna. Why are you running away? First you complain you don't have experience. Now you complain you have experience. That means we are not ready. If we are not ready, we can't enjoy anything. Not only spiritual vision. You can't even enjoy anything beyond your capacity. Suppose you take a child to Avatara movie. Do you think he will enjoy? Give him that Shrek 3 or whatever it is. Shrek 3, he will enjoy it. If you present BMW car to a child, do you think he will enjoy? Whether it's food or dress or any object, anything, we have our capacity. But ultimately, this world has one lesson for us to teach. What is that? It wants to destroy our individuality. When a person becomes a family man, then his expansion comes. When a person becomes a patriot, then his expansion is bigger. When a person becomes a scientist, his expansion. But when a person becomes a saint, he becomes one with the whole. That is called spiritual progress. Simple. To be identified with existence, not particular manifestation. When we have not partial information, but wisdom. When we have complete unbroken bliss. That is what is important. This vision, by the grace of the Lord, was granted to Arjuna. Arjuna became frightened and he prayed. What did he pray? Here is something very curious. He prayed. What did he pray?
Please take away, take back your own.
No, he prayed, very special thing is there. Oh Lord, let me see you as I used to see you before with four hands. You never read Gita? It is there. Yes, it is 46, verse 46. Kiritinam gadinam chakrahastam icchami tvam drashtumaham tathaiva thinaiva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishramurte. That means, you know, as I used to see you in normal times, kiritinam with crown, with mace, with chakra, and chaturbhujena, like Vishnumurti. Was Arjuna seeing Vishnumurti? This is a very difficult verse, even I couldn't understand it. Because if you were seeing, how could he address him, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakha? How could he address him? It's very difficult to understand. I don't know what, why. Tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasida devesha jagarnivasa. That is what he says. Then the Lord says, oh Arjuna, I am very pleased with you, and because of my pleasure, my grace, that you have obtained this vision. This is very important for us. You didn't get this vision because of your effort. You got this vision because of my grace. And I don't grant this grace to anybody. Whether somebody is doing tapasya, austerity, or doing lot of what you call philanthropic activities, or yajnas, I don't give. I only give for those who are endowed with bhakti. Bhakti means here what? Love. Loving devotion. Love overcomes everything. That's what he says in the 48. Na veda yajna adhyenaihi na dhanaihi na cha kriyavihi na tapovihi ugraihi evam rupah shakya aham riloke drashtum tva anyena kurupra. Nobody can have my vision unless I am pleased with, out of my own self will I bestow. What was Ramakrishna telling? What was the parallel? Sergeant, police sergeant. He has a lantern. He can see everybody's face. Nobody can see his face. If you want to see his face, you'll have to pray, sir, please turn the light on your own face so that I will be. If he is happy, he will do that. This is a very interesting verse because in Katha Upanishad also the same thing comes. Katha Upanishad. That he who chooses and whom the Atman is pleased, to him is it reveals its nature. That means upon whom God is pleased, to that person reveals. In the Chandi also it comes. If I am pleased with somebody, I make him very prosperous. If I am displeased, Alakshmi, I will give him the other one. Now what we have to understand is, you see, scriptures are difficult to understand. You can't read a book, a scripture and understand. Do you think really God is a stupid human being? Do you think he is pleased with somebody and upon whom he will be displeased. Can a mother be displeased with her children? Is it possible? If she is displeased, then upon whom is she, or why is she displeased? It is only for their good. If a child is sick, she will give him sick diet. And that sick diet, is it her displeasure or is it her pleasure? See, what we call both good and good people are her children, and evil people are whose children? If everyone, everything is God's children, it's a play. Then this play goes on. This play goes on all the time. The circus is going on all the time. Good become bad, bad become good. All these roles change. It's our play. You should never interpret, she is displeased, God is displeased. How can God be displeased? In God's view, will there be any bad person? You know, just imagine, I give this common example. You know, we have bad opinion about some people like Hitler. Supposing you think yourself as a good devotee of Holy Mother, and you go to Holy Mother and you find Hitler standing in front of her. Who will be glaring at Hitler? Holy Mother or you? And how do you think Holy Mother will be looking upon him? Equally, she might give him some harsh treatment for the sake of making him good, but inside she is only all love. This is what we have to understand. And Sri Ramakrishna says, this is a worldly person. He is not saying, I hate you. He is saying, you have to go through some other training so that you can be fit to receive my grace. This is the truth. All those people who had the good fortune of seeing him, do you think they are unfortunate people? So those people, next birth, they will progress a little, and they will progress a little more, and then they come to the satsanga. When they come to satsanga, is it Ramakrishna's grace or not?
Yes.
Somebody raised a very interesting question in the morning. Some people regret, oh, if only I had been born in Sri Ramakrishna's time, how wonderful it would have been. I don't know, I think it is good that we are not born in Ramakrishna's time, because he was also fortunate we are not coming to him. We are also fortunate we have not seen him. You know why? What happened to Rani Rasmani? So he would have suffered, because how much can he beat? He would have been tired. And we would also be tired. It's a simple fact. So, does that mean he abandons us? Never. He works through nature so that he gives us a little more understanding through good and bad experiences. Gradually he is taking us to him only. This is called evolution according to Vedanta. So the Lord is telling, is a fact, that everything happens by his will. And his revelation of himself is also by his grace and by his will. Kare dauma brahma podo. Kare koroma adhoga. What is this adhogami business? Do you think mother will ever push anybody down? Is it possible? Adhogami here means we have to get further training. This is the simple fact. Having said this, he says, do not worry. Mate vyatha. So just become peaceful. And then having said this, Sanjaya is describing what is happening. That ityajunam vasudevastatha uktva svatam rupam darshayamasa bhuyaha ashvasayamasya bhitamenam bhutva punah saumya vapur mahatma. So the Lord assumed his individual form. From universal form, he came back, he revealed his individual form. What does it mean? It means he was never an individual. The Lord can never be an individual. But he showed himself a little bit partially, so that Arjuna could say, yes, yes, I know this person, I am very happy. Yeah. You know, we are like that fisherwoman. Without a little bit of the smell, we can't get good sleep. Our individuality is like that. Swami Vivekananda used to poke fun. Individual. Are you an individual? What does individual means? What? Only one. Are you one? Yes. We are pieces, you know. It's a fragmented person. We all suffer from MPW. Multiple personality disorder. Not one person. 100%. Yeah, everyday life. Person is a husband. He is an officer, he is a son, he is a club member, like etc., etc., etc. And every place his behavior changes. Having withdrawn this form, the Lord is telling, it is extremely difficult. Rare are those fortunate souls who had this kind of vision. Even gods ever long to have this kind of vision. All of us long to have this kind of vision, but we are not fit. Do we really long? There is an infinite desire, unquenchable desire to become the whole. If you have a desire, you want to become whole. This is the truth, because you want to identify yourself. Until your desire is fulfilled, you feel unhappy. Once you acquire something, oh, this is me. You extend yourself until you become the whole universe. Puranic story, interesting in this context. Bali is supposed to be a demon. Then what happened? God went to him. He said, I just want 3 feet. So Bali said, 3 feet? I am a king. I could give as much as you want. You know, 3 feet are enough. And then he puts his foot there in the head of the
That was the last.
So, what is the significance of this story? He grows, you know, one foot covers this earth, another foot covers the other world. He says, where is my third foot? He says, alright, put on my head. He puts on his head. What is the point? How fortunate he was. If the whole world is occupied by the Lord, then what happens to Bali? He should become one with God. This is the simple truth. He had universal vision. Is it not universal vision? And then he realized, I am the Lord. The Purana doesn't tell us. But ever since that time, Bali, he was one of the greatest devotees of God. How can he not have this vision? That was a universal vision. This Vamana grew and grew and grew. What is the symbolism of this Vamana? We are all Vamanas as individuals. And then we expand and we grow and we grow. We belong, the whole earth we identify, the other world also we identify. That's one symbolism. Another symbolism is our whole waking state. From Vishwa we become Virat. From Taijasa we become Hiranyagarbha. From Prajna we become Ishvara. What is Upasana? Tell me, simple words. What is the meaning of Upasana? You know, you all read these Vedantic texts. Meditating on Thakur. What is Thakur now? Is he not Virat? Is he not Ishvara? So when you meditate and finally you really succeed, then what happens to you? you become what?
One with the God.
So this is the training the Lord wants us to get. First, those who are devotees, identify yourself. And then expand this. Ultimately, the whole universe has to become, we have to become identified with this whole universe. And you know, there was in the great master, there was an incident. One day, a man was walking on newly grown Durba grass. Sri Ramakrishna was lying on his bed in his room. You remember what happened?
Yeah.
What did he feel?
The
man was walking on his own body. And how much pain he has, so it's interesting, you know. I'm expanding because it's such an interesting meditation for me. You are lying. A child, like Akhil, is walking all over you. Do you feel pain or pleasure? Pain or pleasure?
Pleasure.
Is that what called, you know? Okay. Supposing a grown-up person walks on you. How much pain do you feel? Not much. Oh, sometimes it is terrible, tremendous pleasure. If there is a special Ayurvedic massaging, when the person is lying, he holds the beam and walks all over you. No, the point I am raising is, so a person, as Sri Ramakrishna felt that a person was walking on his body. The point is, what is the limit of your imagination? A person, I imagine, a person is walking on my body. That's a wrong imagination. You must imagine how the grass feels when man is walking with chappals or boots. How much the blade of grass feels. That much pain because he is identified not with himself but with the
grass.
Also that two boatmen quarrelling, he felt. Maharashtra, there is this one lady, Sakubai or somebody, she was, her husband was beating. And the marks were felt. The Pandarnath was getting the marks. Actually, some of us also experience in a slightly different way. Suppose a mother, her child is being savaged by a dog. Very frequently these incidents happen. If the mother is witnessing, before she could go and do whatever, how do you think she is feeling? You know, we can imagine, exercise our imagination. What is the point? The point is that a spiritual aspirant, he identifies himself with everybody, feels the sukha and the dukkha of everybody, like Swami Vivekananda. One day he was sobbing. Swami Vivekananda found, you know. He said, why are you, Swamiji, why are you sobbing early in the morning? He said, somewhere some great disaster had taken place. I could feel thousands of people are in great agony. I was thinking about that incident. And they did not know, they never heard. Next morning, the telegraph news, in those days, you know, telegraph news, there was an earthquake somewhere, thousands of people died. Just imagine, when the earth is closing, and you have fallen, or a great beam had fallen upon you, and his head is being crushed. Can you imagine how much agony it would be? He was feeling it. But we don't feel it. We sympathize, but we don't feel it at all. So this is the idea. What is spiritual practice, spiritual progress? Progressively, we expand our personality until multiple personality syndrome disappears. There will be only
one
unitary being. That is called spiritual progress. That is our goal. We have to understand clearly, intellectually at least, then slowly progress. Why are you asked to be moral? Why are you asked to serve people? Only one reason. By serving, it is not what you do, but how much you identify yourself with the person who is being served, then is who gets the benefit? You get the benefit because you are expanding your personality. That is the whole point of this. We must acquire holistic attitude. We must try our level best. Individuality must disappear. Universality must come. That is why Ishvara is considered as the master of Maya. We are considered as slaves of Maya. What is the difference? Because he identifies himself with the whole, but we identify ourselves with our individuality. This is the goal. There was an interesting incident. One Swami Turiyananda was performing tapasya in North India. One day he was sitting under a tree. It was very hot day, and the farmers, you know, cultivators, they were sweating and doing the hard cultivation work. Remember? He felt, I am a useless fellow. I am a parasite, simply sitting under a tree and sponging on these hard-working people, meaning I am not contributing anything. Suddenly he felt he was growing and growing and growing. Ultimately, until he became one with the whole universe. Sri Ramakrishna was conveying to him that if you think you are an individual, you are not spiritual. But if you think you are also, then you are, your spirituality is correct. This is the simple truth. So if somebody criticizes me, I react negatively. But if I am spiritual, I react positively. Why is it? Why?
It's
the same person.
Because I am, who is criticizing whom? I am criticizing myself. That is the spiritual progress. No, I am a great saint, I forbear, I am showing and I am very proud how much forbearance I have. No. Until you feel that you are criticizing yourself, then your forbearance has no meaning. Forbearance means not with gritted teeth. And let the right time come, my daddy can lick your daddy. No. So this is the most beautiful chapter, and the Lord says that only very, very few were bestowed this kind of grace. How do we understand this? It says, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam ap siddhanam kaschin mam vetitat. Out of thousands of people, one or two strive for expansion, and out of those who strive, maybe one or two finally achieve the goal. Means what? They lose their individuality and they realize that I am the divine, I am divine. So having given this vision out of his grace, having made him experience, then he gives a commandment here. It's very, very necessary for it. But before that, I have to tell you something. What is it? Before Arjuna started the war, he was confused. What was the confusion? I am going to kill Bhishma, Drona, etc., etc. And then the Lord taught him that the soul has no birth, no death. Janma follows by death, death follows is followed by Janma, etc. In this, he has actually given him a direct experience. What is that experience? The Lord is everything. If the Lord is everything, who is Arjuna? If Arjuna is God, who is Bhishma? Who is God? If Arjuna is killing Bhishma, who is killing whom? See, then what is this killing business, being killed, killing and being killed business? It is just a play, leela. That is what happens. So Arjuna had temporarily had that wonderful vision. Then the Lord says, You see, I just gave you this vision out of my grace. You don't deserve it. But that would be your case. You don't deserve it because he lost to the vision. Just as Vaikunthanath Sanyar, he lost this vision. But one thing will be the result. What is that? Now Arjuna knows such a thing is possible. There is a parallel in Sri Ramakrishna's life. What is that parallel? One day Sri Ramakrishna was teaching, everything is God. And like a very serious, good student, Narendra put up that face and listened the whole thing. Then what happened? The moment Sri Ramakrishna stopped his sermon, he went outside. And there was the ever-present Thousanda. And both of them started laughing and laughing and laughing. This mat is God, this cat is God, this rat is God, and like that. Then meanwhile Sri Ramakrishna came out with his wearing cloth under his arm. What are you laughing at? They didn't explain. But his ears, you know, very sharp. Yes, he can hear what we are whispering also, what we are not whispering also, he knows. Immediately, he went and touched him because it's not possible to understand unless there is a direct experience. He touched. The moment it is, you know the story. What happened to Narendranath? He went home. Remember? He went home. Then he found everything is pervaded by one unitary consciousness. Then his mother gave him some venison meat and he said, I didn't feel like eating by 8. Everything as though is happening in a dream. He was seeing multiplicity, but at the same time he was seeing also the connection. And this experience lasted for a few days. That was not complete experience. But he said, now I know that what Sri Ramakrishna said, there is a possibility. But that experience came where? At Kashipur. Sri Ramakrishna granted him Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So the point is, unless we have a direct experience, we can't even be having faith in it. Because how can we have faith which we have never experienced even a glimpse? By the Lord's grace, Arjuna had experienced that glimpse. Now, even though he couldn't retain, he can't deny that such an experience is possible. And what was that experience? He says, Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha, Sahasra Akshaha, Sahasra Thousand Eyed, thousand heads, thousand hands, thousand feet. That means what? Usually a picture, universal Lord, you know, how many heads, how many hands, all this they will show. What does that mean? When we see a head, whose head is that? When we see a hand, whose hand is that? God's. It's a possibility. Now we can't even imagine it. But if we have a glimpse, then we know there is a possibility of such experience. But one has to be fit for that experience. Here, one point, that we are not doing our spiritual practice for gaining something new. We are doing the spiritual practice for enjoying what will be given to us. Already God is there. The truth is there. You need not go anywhere. But we don't have that knowledge. That removal of that knowledge, it cannot be done by karma. Removal of ignorance can be only removed by knowledge. Darkness will not go by any karma. The only thing by which darkness goes is through light. That is the idea. To prepare him, he gives this commandment. What is the commandment? Mat karma krit. Do actions for my sake. Means connect your action. This is not a question of begging or suggesting. He says krit. You do it. Because Guru is commanding the disciple. Mat paramaha, your goal should be only me, nobody else. Mat bhaktaha, you will become my devotee alone. That means you will be my devotee alone, not anybody else's devotee. We are all devoted. We don't use that word. Devoted to wife, devoted to husband, devoted to dog. Yeah. One lady came and it was class time in UK. So, are you attending my class? No, Swami, I am highly devoted to my dog. I said, wonderful. You are practicing the presence of God. Yes. An insomniac, dyslectic, lying in his bed whole night, wondered whether there is a dog. Understand? Dyslectic always sees the words in the opposite way. So insomniac is one who can't sleep. Whole night he passed wondering whether there is a dog. So, madbhaktaha, be my devotee. Don't be devoted to anything else. Then he says, sangavarjitaha. Means what? If you are devoted to something else, then you are attached to that. You do everything, but be devoted only to me. Sri Ramakrishna brings out this point. A wife serves everybody in the family. The brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, all that. But her mind is only on her husband. Nirvairaha sarva bhuteshu. You should not have any enemy. What does this mean? Saints have no enemies. We use that common expression. What does it mean?
They look upon everyone as God.
If from the saint's point of view, there is no enemy. But others may look upon him as a dangerous person, as an enemy. That's why, you know, Jesus Christ was crucified. Even today, Christians don't forgive that factor. But strange, you know, Christians don't forgive even Christians also. There was a Jew and a Christian friends. So one day, the Christian friend, early morning, one day there was a knocking of the door. And the Jewish friend, he opened the door. And there was his Christian friend, 6 o'clock in the morning. And as soon as he opened the door, he gave one big slap. The Jew, he was surprised. Why? He said, you Jews, you crucified our Jesus Christ. But that was 2000 years ago. He said, maybe, but I came to know about it only today morning. Really, even today, many Christians, especially this church, never forgives this Jews. And now gory details are emerging, how this Catholic Church encouraged people in Germany to exterminate the Jews. First factor. Second factor, after the Second World War was over, you know, this Germany was defeated, so many Nazi leaders had disappeared. There was what is called court cases and all that. So many have disappeared. Even today they are not traced. What? How did they disappear? Who helped them? We know, Joseph, who helped? It's found out. Christian church. They sheltered them when the hunt was on. They disguised them and settled them in South America, some in other places. Now the gory details are coming up. See, all because where is your rationality? Okay, Jews had crucified whom? Christian or Jew? Who was Jesus Christ?
Jew.
The Jew. And how many people did it? It's only maybe one or two people, they for some reason they did it. And for that, the whole Jewish race had to be persecuted even till today. Where is your humanity? That is one. Do these Christians read their Bibles?
Love thy neighbor.
No, no. How did Christ crucify? Whose will was that?
The Father's will. Let thy will be done.
God's will. Nothing happens without God's will. It was written, my will be written. In fact, Jesus Christ came to know that he was going to be crucified. It was the most torturous form of death. He prayed, it is said. And what was the answer he received? This is thy cup. You will have to drink it. And he said, yes, I accept your will. Actually, who crucified? Then how can other people be blamed? That is the real truth. This is what is being said here. Bhishma, Drona and all these people who are going to 18 Akshavahinis, they are killed by whom? Duryodhana or Pandavas. They were just nimitta matras. This thing Duryodhana, as he is cheating Pandavas and all that, was it Duryodhana's scheme or God's scheme? It's God. From the Vedantic point of view, from the teaching of this, it is God's will. Then what is the punishment to be given to Duryodhana? The punishment is not given for what he did. The punishment is given for thinking, I am doing it. For his, you know, I will do this, I want to do this. No. You are an instrument. Anyway. So this is the lesson, Madbhaktaha Nirvairaha Sarvabhutesh. So saints, you should not be inimical, because inimy means what? You are an individual, still an individual. Only a person who identifies with the whole has no enemy at all. Sarvabhutesh Yaha Sakmam Eti Pandava. He alone attains me. Attaining me means what? He alone loses his individuality, realizes his universality, unitary state of consciousness. The crux of this whole philosophy or this teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is this. What is it? That there is only one reality. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nithya Jivaha Brahma Eva Na Aparaha. But many people don't understand, even while translating. This world is unreal. Where is the unreality? The whole world is nothing but God. Jagat Satyam. That's why it is said. And Swami Turiyanandaji was dying. He uttered Brahma Satyam,
Jagat
Satyam. And there was a lot of concern. How can he say, Shankara said Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya? Or Swami Turiyanandaji, was he in delirium to say that Brahma Satyam, Jagat Satyam? Because Shankara himself had said this in the Vivek Chudamani later on. For a person who knows Brahman, if Brahman alone is real, then what is the world? That is also Satyam. Not Satyam as Nama Rupa, but Satyam as Brahman. A pot, a pan is not Satyam, but it is Satyam as
clay.
Asatyam means it is changing. So it can break, Nama Rupa will break. So this is what is happening to us all the time. We are there, we are not. Ramakrishna also mentions to his Vishnu, people, they don't think. So he cites the example of Ravanasura. So Shankara, Shiva and Parvati were sitting on Mount Kailas. Dum, a sound has come. Oh, Parvati was a bit startled. Lord, what is that? Ravana is
born.
After a millisecond, dum, a sound has come. Lord, what is this sound? Ravana is
dead.
बहुवीर हुए बलवान हुए कितने न महीपत मान हुए अब कौन कहां कुछ ध्यान धरे सब नश्वर है सब नश्वर है श्री राम भजो दुख में सुख में दिस इज द ट्रूथ हाउ मेनी एम्परर्स हैड कम हाउ मेनी हीरोज रूल दिस वर्ल्ड Where are, how many great kingdoms had come? Where are they? All became dust. There's cob, not even cobwebs are hanging because there was nothing to hang. This is the truth. We think, you know, we are going to be here permanently. This is the truth. So, to summarize, we had a beautiful thing. The ultimate goal of life is to have darshana. You must have direct vision, experience of God. And that reveals us that God alone is the only being which is truth, even there is nothing else besides Him. And it can come only by His grace. And His grace comes to a person who follows His teachings. And what are His teachings? Mat karma krit. Do all actions, dedicate all your actions to me. It's called yoga. Then, mat bhaktaha, mat paraha, means let me be the supreme goal in your life. Then, mat bhaktaha, be my devotee. Then, sangha varjitaha, means slowly, and withdraw your attachment to everything else. But even if you don't withdraw, the other objects will withdraw sooner or later. Is it not? Friends will die, relatives will die, objects will become old and get broken, etc. Either way it happens. And it says, Nirvairaha Sarva Bhuteshu. Do not entertain any negative feeling because that will only harm you. So if a person does, so Mam Eti Pandava, he ultimately becomes one with me. That person is slowly destroying his sense of individuality. The crux of spiritual practice is we must get rid of our sense of individuality. And this can be done in two ways, the bhakta's way and the jnani's way. What is the difference? If there is a drop of water, there is an ocean, and the drop must become one with the ocean. There are two ways. The bhakta's way is, I am the drop, I will go and fall into the ocean. The jnani's way is, let the ocean come and fall upon me. The result is the same. Two different views. Aham Brahmasmi, he says. Another person says, no, I am Dasa. I tell you that story. There was a house, ground floor and first floor. In the first floor, higher floor, one jnani was living, man of knowledge. And then the ground floor, a bhakta was living. So they didn't like each other at all. What does that show? That they are neither bhaktas. So the bhakta, the jnani, he said, I am a superior fellow, I am following jnana marga. So I will show this fellow what it is. So he brought some paint and he outside said, Soham. He painted Soham when the devotee was not there. And he was happy, he went away. Then the devotee came. He was furious. And he took up the paint and added Da Soham. Da Soham. I am the servant. Then he was happy. He went away. Then the jnani came. He was furious. So he added one sa. Sada Soham. Then the bhakta came and he was furious. He added another da.
Da.
two views, the goal is exactly the same. This is what Sri Ramakrishna had come to teach us. Don't quarrel, let everybody take his own path. But the only attention we have to pay is, am I progressing in my chosen path? And the criteria of the progress is only three. What is that? Are you growing in
goodness?
Are you growing in wisdom? Are you growing in
happiness?
If we get that, we are blessed. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.